Chapter 13. Aksum, Tigray region, Aksumite kingdom of Ethiopia. February 14th, 1021, 4:38 p.m. The moon was swollen full and sharp as it slowly cut a dark crescent into the brightness of the sun. Like an evil omen in the sky, the eclipse cast a growing shadow on the world. It was quiet. Most of the capital city's inhabitants had huddled together indoors, hiding from both the omnipresent wrath of their new witch queen and the foreboding sky that had heralded her coming. Noma's sandals slapped loudly against the ground as she made her way hastily through the dusty, abandoned streets, her braided hair and face covered with a thin linen veil. She could still smell the smoke in the air through the soft fabric. Smoke that was carried on a persistent wind blowing eastward from the chapel where the witch queen, Gudit, had locked in the last of the town's priests and elders before commanding her soldiers to set the building ablaze. Noma had watched it all from a distance, heard the crackle of flame taking to tinder, and the first muffled cries of defiance that had quickly turned to desperate screams. She could no longer hear the screams, but the howling wind grew louder as the sky grew darker. Her heart was pounding, banging a drum of concern, but it was not concern for those whom Gudit was burning alive for the crime of holding positions of power during the reign of the recently captured emperor, Dil-Naud. No, she was only concerned about her sister, Lilith, and what might happen to her when the witch queen discovered that her lover, Samael, was bound to Dil-Naud by contract. Or worse, if Samael, in some act of insanity, attempted to honor that contract and go on the offensive against her. No. Noma wanted no part of that. They needed to get out of the city and head anywhere, perhaps north to Kush, where they still had friends and contacts, or west to Wagadu, where they knew no one but could trade their services to the warrior kings whose fame was spread by the salt and gold caravan traders. Wherever they went, they needed to go immediately. Gudit was fleet with a bow, powerful with a sword, and had mastered the manipulation of spirit particles. Worst of all, she was ruthless as any human Noma had ever come across, perhaps more so, judging by the stories the travelers had told. The most talkative of them said that she had seduced an evil spirit, Busha Ayana, with her beauty and ambition, inviting the spirit to possess her and share a body with her in exchange for the power she used for conquest. To many of these people, these stories were only rumors, but Noma had been in the crowd when Gudit first entered the conquered city. She had looked into the witch queen's eyes and sensed the projection of dark spirit particles entangled with her flesh when she rode past on a midnight-colored mare. Noma knew the stories were more than just rumors. Gudit was not a woman Noma wanted to take on. She wasn't even entirely sure she could. Noma's pulse became a steady beating in her head that grew louder with every step she took. She wanted to fly to her sister, but to do so would risk exposure. Lilith, 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 why did we ever agree to come here? That question stabbed viciously at her heart as she rounded the end of the street and passed a towering stone obelisk with Gez script, which she could not read, inscribed on it. It was a Hawelti, a monument to mark the location of a dead emperor's burial chamber. It occurred to her that if she and her sister died here, no one would erect a Hawelti or even place a stone to mark their memory. They would go from being cast out angels to less than nothings. From being feared and worshipped to destroyed and forgotten in what had been a long-running sequence of poor choices. Poor choices, like choosing to side with Lucifer, like following Samael here. If Lilith had not fallen for Samael, if they had remained in the shadows, avoiding the affairs of power-hungry men, ambitious women, and organized gods, simply taking small sips of sustenance where they could, if Samael had not entered a contract with a doomed emperor, if they had made different choices, she would not be running down the darkening street, frightened for her life, while a hungry moon swallowed the sun. She sped past the obelisk and turned left at a four-way intersection. Stone-paved roads gave way to packed dirt paths and smaller buildings. After another minute of panicked running, she came to their place of refuge. It was a small circular stone house with two street-facing windows like suspicious eyes and a thatch roof sloping at a sharp angle. It was usually a kind of tan, sandy brown, but in the daytime darkness of the eclipse, it looked grey and disquieting. Noma ran up to the crude, stocky door, her pulse still pounding in her ears. She knocked twice, and the door swung open just as the moon began to slide past the face of the sun, lifting the edge of the curtain of shadows. Samael stood there, a bronze-skinned tower of a man with an aquiline nose and a puff of curly black Levantine hair. He was wearing leather armor as though he had just returned from a battle or was about to go to one. He was so tall that he had to bend his neck so that she could see the top half of his head, see his eyes, smiling. He was smiling at her. It was a thin, hard smile, and he did not look at all surprised to see her. There was something about the falseness of that smile and the strangeness of the returning light, making the grey walls of the house begin to turn brown again, that made Noma feel even more uncomfortable than she already was. "Samael," she said in her best Amharic, trying not to scream. "Where is she? Where is Lilith?" "You are agitated." He straightened and took a step to the side, clearing the doorway. "Come in." Noma took a deep breath and slowed her heart rate down as she entered the open space of the house. It was clean. Too clean, with its recently swept, hard-packed floor. Of the furniture that used to sit in every corner, none remained except for a single stool in a corner. A woven thatch screen farthest from the door separated the sleeping area from the rest of the house. A smell like animal fat hung heavy in the air. She stopped in the center of the building and spun round to face Samael. He seemed too calm, given the chaos that had overrun the city in the last few hours. It was true that he was older than her and her sister by some measure of time she couldn't name. She just knew he'd been created before they were. A minute or several millennia, no one could tell. And even though he consumed souls as frequently as they did, his age was starting to show. His pitch-black hair had a faint silver streak running through it, from his left ear to the back of his neck, and the lines of his face were few but deep. In the right light, his eyes hinted at his power, their deep unnatural green reflecting the intensity of his spirit particle potency. His lips were thick and his jaw solid. He was handsome in a rugged way, a warrior's way. She understood why Lilith found him attractive. But she didn't want to talk to him. She wanted to speak with Lilith. "Where is she?" Noma asked again. "Naama, relax," he sighed. "She's over there, getting ready." "Ready for what?" Noma asked as her heart began to pound again. "You know," he said, folding his arms in front of him, "we had an agreement with Dilnaod. We must go to his aid now." Noma's knees suddenly felt weak and unsteady as her worst fear deposited itself into reality. There was a prickling sensation on her forehead as the fear turned to anger. "No! I knew you would say that. I knew it. You've always been too stubborn and impractical for your own good. That's why you stuck with Lucifer, even through the fall. This is foolishness. Go and rescue your stupid emperor if you must, but leave my sister out of it." "I am not asking her to do anything," he said. "It is my contract, my agreement. I am the one that is bound by honor. She offered to help me." Even before she had used the cover of the eclipse to come here, Noma had known she would. Since they had fled Egypt together, she'd known that Lilith had become too tightly bound to her lover. It had become more than a business arrangement, as she often claimed whenever Noma asked about their relationship. Noma had often asked jokingly about what would happen if Samael did something stupid, like jump off a cliff. Would Lilith jump too? And now suddenly Witch Queen Gudit had come, and the joke had flipped into a deadly sharp reality that was slowly stabbing its way into her heart.
Lily?
Noma shouted, turning as she made for the thatch screen. Lily! Answer me!
Nah!
The high-pitched voice of her sister. Noma tore at the screen to reveal Lilith staring at her, mouth open with surprise, her hands deep in her partially braided hair. She was wearing a black leather tunic cinched around her waist, an array of sharp daggers suspended from it. The contrast of the dark leather and her fair, milk-white skin mirrored the contrast of Noma's dark skin with her own flowing white robe and veil. They had always been different, Nayama and Lilith, both superficially and internally, but they remained together despite it, perhaps even because of it. Because they were different in complementary ways, all their differences fit into each other like two halves of the same thing, and perhaps because, in the end, they were the same in the one way that mattered. They knew how to use what they had to get what they wanted. At least Noma thought so. She wasn't so sure anymore.
"We need to get out of the city now, Lily," she said, taking her sister's hand. It was slippery with animal oils and herbal fragrances. "It's not safe for us here anymore. If we leave now, we can make it to Kush in a day or two. We can fly over the desert."
"I'm not leaving now," Lilith said casually, as though she were telling her about the weather or the harvest and not making a statement that would ruin them both. Noma took a step back. She heard the sloshing glug of something being poured from a jar and was suddenly reminded of Samael's presence behind her.
"Let's go outside and talk about this," she said, half whispering.
But Lilith simply shook her head and pulled Nomas closer to her so that they were almost in an embrace. It was a familiar position, one they used often in difficult moments that demanded sincerity and clarity.
"I know what you want to say, and there is no need to hide it," Lilith began. "There is no need to hide anything from him. I know what I'm doing. You don't have to stay with us. Go. We will complete our contract and come find you in Kush when it is done."
Noma examined her sister for a moment, searching the deep ocean blue of her eyes for doubt, for some crack in Lilith's confidence that she could exploit and convince her to change her mind. But there was none.
"Gudit isn't just another power-hungry human conqueror," she said, rubbing Lilith's hands and pulling them to her bosom. "Did you not see how she moved the moon to herald her takeover? She has merged with a spirit, some ancient primal entity, an elder god of this land and these people that holds a lot more power than anything I've sensed since the fall. It's something so old, I've never heard of it. I don't even know its name. No one does. They just call it Busha Ayana, the bad spirit. I could not see it, only sense the intensity of its spirit particles. And it is not that different from the one that made us. Do you understand? She is now a vessel for something much more powerful than we are used to dealing with."
Noma turned sharply to look at Samael, who was holding a brown ceramic bowl full of sickly sweet-smelling liquid.
"I know that," Samael said as he took a sip of the drink. "And so does she."
"Then you know your patron emperor is as good as dead already. There is no point in trying to rescue him," Noma said.
"That is not true. We can get him back," Samael said. "It will be difficult, but not impossible. Besides, we once rebelled against the Ancient One himself. We can handle this Witch Queen. A contract is a contract. Honor demands that I help him."
"You're a fool," Noma spat out as her anger returned, leaking out of her in a cluster of bitter words. "You stood by your friend Lucifer in his rebellion against the Ancient One, and how did that turn out for you,
He scoffed. "You talk like you weren't with us."
"I rebelled because I believed in the cause, in the message. I wanted freedom, I still do.
But you, with all this talk of honor but no talk of what makes sense, did you even understand why we rebelled? Our philosophy? Why we wanted to be free? Or were you just standing by your friend because you promised you would?
I didn't, Samael said, suddenly pensive. I didn't stand by him at the end, in the final battle.
Norma stared, confused. What?
Sam, you don't have to...
Lilith began. But he stopped her with a look and a raised hand.
Please, let me explain.
He looked down at the ground.
You're right, Norma. I never truly believed in the cause. I never wanted to rebel. But I made a promise to a friend. So I fought with him. But when Michael and his army blocked our advance at the gates, and I saw how vastly outnumbered we were, I was afraid. I was a coward.
Samael's voice was trembling as though each word was a thorn, its removal full of pain.
I abandoned him when he needed me most. And that moment of betrayal has haunted every moment of my existence since.
Samael shook his head, took another sip of his drink, and wiped his lips. His confident smile returned, but he could not hide the filmy wetness in his eyes.
I cannot do that again. I will not do that again. Ever.
Norma stared at him. She finally understood some of his obsessiveness with honor and keeping his word. But she didn't care. She didn't want to care. She wanted to leave with Lilith.
Fine, whatever. But you can't let the past drive you into stupid actions in the present. Things change, reality is fluid, we all make choices as we need to, and survival is the most important thing. It might have been a good idea to enter into a contract with Dil Naod at the time, but you are a fool for trying to honor it now when it is no longer worth it. You're an even bigger fool for roping my sister into it. I curse the day Lilith and I agreed to form a partnership with you. Stop it now, Lilith shouted, and the shock of her raised voice forced Norma into silence. Lilith's pale face was flushed deep pink, and her eyes were wet globes of sadness. We were created together, and we've been together for thousands of years. We've shared wine and food and men and spirits and pain and everything that is possible to share between two people. We have a bond built into us, and I love you as much as it is possible to love another. But I also love Samael. I want you to know that. I love Samael as much as I love you. It's a different kind of love. It's a love I chose. It may have started as a partnership, but it's much more than that now, and I am no longer afraid to admit it. He understands me, not because we were created alike, but because he has chosen to. And I am choosing to stay with him because I cannot live without him.
Norma let go of her sister's hand and stepped back. The admission cut her like a knife because she knew what it meant.
I've lost my sister.
She started sobbing. Lilith tried to pull her back into their embrace, but Norma pushed her away.
Why would you choose him over me, especially now?
Norma asked, her voice trembling.
Why can't it be the way it used to be? Just you and me again, like it was in the beginning. Sisters, partners, protecting each other. We may have needed Samael in Jerusalem, but we don't need him anymore. We can seduce any man or spirit or god we want. He may feel he has to do this, but you don't need to choose this fate with him. You don't need to. I know you feel attached to him, and I will admit I do too, but that too will pass.
Stop, please, Lilith croaked. Her eyes fell to the ground.
You still don't understand.
Of course I understand, Norma blurted out, desperate, as she wiped away a stray tear.
You love him, I understand. I'm sorry I suggested you leave him, I'm sorry. You can be together again, we can continue the way we have, but come with me to Kush and let him complete his contract himself.
You don't need to fight this battle with him. We are not warriors, we are free spirits.
You don't need to be there, and he can meet us in Kush when he is done. Isn't that right, Samael? You love her and you don't want her taking this unnecessary risk, do you? You can stop, Lilith repeated, louder as she went to Samael's side, leaving Noma standing alone by the thatch screen. Please don't say any more, she started. I hoped you would understand, but I knew you wouldn't. Maybe you can't. Maybe in this we are truly different. Please, Na, just go. We will do what we need to and then come and find you in Kush. Noma wanted to say so much more to Lilith in that moment, to remind her of the past, to entice her with the future, to plead with her not to leave her alone, to tell her again and again that they had no real reason to stay and fight. But under her sister's confident blue gaze, and with the echo of the word stop in her head, all her own words seemed to be stuck in her throat, because she knew using them was pointless. The three of them jerked suddenly when they heard it, insistent knocking at the door. Noma's eye shot to it first. Could the Witch Queen's soldiers have found them? Could Dil Naad have been broken so easily and given up Samael so soon? Her mind filled with horrible images of arrest and torture and execution, of slow and painful death, of unmasking by some strange and ancient spirit, of having their flesh cut into pieces and their spirit particles unwoven from each other until they could not hold their consciousness together. I'll see who it is, Samael said, with far more confidence than Noma thought was appropriate. Be prepared, in case. The knocking continued, and Noma looked at her sister, unsaid words hanging between them like a rain cloud. Lilith snapped her fingers and a burst of bright blue spirit particles exploded into the air. She moved her fingers in a tight circle and the particles assembled in a kind of orbit around her wrist as she turned to face the door, ready to counter an attack. Noma spread her arms to either side, her own yellow spirit particles shimmering on her skin like glitter. She took a deep breath, bracing herself, as Samael opened the door. A man stood in the doorway, hunched over and wearing nothing but a piece of cloth tied around his waist. He was pressing bloodied hands to his belly. Noma recognized him from the palace. She'd seen him the first day they had come to this city. It was Besad, the Emperor's head guard. "Demon, the Emperor demands your services now," he shouted as he stumbled across the threshold, leaving a trail of blood. "Were you followed?" Samael asked, still infuriatingly calm. No, Besad said. No one followed me. I used the eclipse as cover to escape. Of course, Noma muttered under her breath, as Samael closed the door and she allowed herself to relax. Besad grimaced. His skin was dark with fallen ash, and his curly hair was a sponge matted to his head, clumps of dirt and soot and grass embedded in it. His skin was covered in cuts, burns, and abrasions. I was with the Emperor when he was captured, but he tasked me with a duty, to ensure you fulfill your bargain with him. I don't think you are in a fit state to ensure anything, Noma remarked, and Lilith shot her a look. Samael took the brown bowl and finished his drink in one gulp. When he was done, he asked the injured man, Her soldiers, did they use magic? Yes. Our weapons could not pierce them, Besad said, coughing. Then she has enchanted her army, Samael said to Lilith quietly. It will be a bit more difficult to enter the palace, Lilith said. Her voice was gentle too. So we enter from above. Yes, Samael agreed with a nod. No, Noma said, annoyed at their calm and casual exchange, as though they had already agreed before the words came. The way she and Lilith used to talk to each other. Please, don't do this, Lily. It's suicide. No, it isn't, Lilith shot back. And even if it is, it's my choice. I choose to be with Samael in this, in all things. Her eyes were hard, crystallized with resolve. You're making a mistake, Noma said, and looked away. Lilith said nothing in reply. Noma took a deep breath before she spoke again. I am asking you one more time. I am begging you, Lily. Come to Kush with me now. No, Na, she shook her head. I think you are scared, and it's okay.
It's all right to be scared. You're scared for me because you care, and I love you for it. But I also love Samael, and I am not afraid of this witch queen. We will fulfill our bargain, and we will live in this land just as we planned.
This is wrong. Wrong. This isn't how we operate, Lily. We don't engage large forces like this. We move in the shadows, and we negotiate, and we take what we need, nothing more. This isn't our way.
I know it isn't, but it is Samael's way, so I will go with him.
Why?
Noma asked, exasperated.
Because I love him.
It's really that simple.
It is, Lilith replied.
A few seconds passed.
I don't want to lose you,
Noma said finally, and the words hurt as they came out of her because they meant she had accepted this, and she hated herself for it.
You won't lose me.
Then promise. Promise me that I won't lose you because of this, because of him. She glanced over at Samael, who was helping Bessad to drink from his bowl.
I promise, Lilith smiled.
And it was a sad smile that didn't reach all the way to her eyes.
You won't lose me.
As Noma took in those words, memories flashed through her mind. Memories of things they had done together. There were so many that she could barely remember any events in her life that did not involve Lilith. Dangerous things, yes, and pleasurable things, too. And through them all, she'd always had the comfort of knowing she wasn't alone, that Lilith was there beside her, or would be, that they were always there for each other. And as much as she wanted to believe that Lilith would keep her promise, she didn't believe it. And she was angry because they didn't need to be in that position. And she felt guilty because she felt she was abandoning her sister.
Fine. Do what you want here, but come back to me.
She wanted to sound stern, but she only sounded sad and tired and scared, even to herself. She didn't like it. Lilith stepped forward and engulfed her in an embrace. Noma accepted it, allowing the warmth to suffuse her senses. She took in the smell of scented oils in her hair, the softness of her neck, the firmness of her shoulders.
I'll meet you in Kush now,
Lilith said when she finally pulled away.
You better.
Noma swept out of the house as quickly as she had entered, reattaching her veil.
See you soon,
Samael called to her, his voice rich and gravelly and calm. Always so calm. She glanced back at him and shook her head. When Noma stepped out of the stone house, the now unobstructed sun was still high in the sky. She looked up at it, and it stared back at her from behind a smattering of silver clouds, tracing its path across the sky slowly and quietly. She considered staying for a moment, a warm rush of excitement filling her mind as she imagined fighting side by side with Lilith against an army of enchanted enemies, their wings spread out and their claws extended, tearing at flesh and drawing blood in bright spurts until they won or were finally cut down and fell together on the ground, holding hands. They could die together. Or they could save Dilnaod and raise an army, come back and defeat the Witch Queen possessed by Busha Ayana in a glorious battle, perhaps even become living deities in Aksum together, twin goddesses as they once had been. The rush of excitement drained from her. She looked back down at the earth. No, the world had changed, and Lilith had Samael now. Things would never be the same between them. Not even death. All she could hope for now was that she would see her sister again. Her eyes full of tears and her heart full of guilt and anger, Noma sprinted away. She ran and ran until the cluster of stone houses gave way to sparse patches of thatch huts and the wide dirt road of the city narrowed, becoming a path, then gave way to thick, untraveled bush. With a single piercing scream, Noma let out all the emotions that were swirling inside her as she ripped away her robes and her veil. Scales covered her skin like armor, and wings shot out of her back, spreading wide and high as she took to the sky, turning her back to the sun.